with you in the verse. Remember what we looked at last time, verses 16 and 9. Paul talked about the gospel and the purity of it. Now he goes into account of his experience in order to convey the truth corresponding to the gospel. For do not live after slavery, for God. Do not seek the creation, or by the not be the servant of Christ, but the first of these brethren, that the gospel, which was preached unto you, is not after man, for I may receive the government, neither was I sought, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation, and I have seen the Jewish religion, how that beyond danger, I first seen the church of God, and was Jewish, and the true religion above, make my people, my own nation, the glory to me, of the divisions of my fathers. But the true God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his mercy, to reveal this Son to me, that I might preach from the mother of him. In him, I conferred not with great evil, neither with my love to Jerusalem, that even before a father before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again unto Damascus, and after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem and Peter, and abode with him 15 days, so that after the disciples all I done, it took shame to the Lord's river. And the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I will lie not. Of course, I came to the region of Syria and Syria, and were unknown by some of these other persons of the Jews who were in Christ. But they had heard only he was first in the earth in time past, now preaching the subject with one he destroyed, and then glorified God in his name. And so is the question for our professor, why was Paul so adamant, so dogmatic in sticking to the gospel and elaborating and making sure that in every context, in every situation, he would bring out the gospel? Well, the answer to that is simply that he saw the fulfillment of the Christ, and he rejoiced in the gospel. He saw the gospel as being the fulfillment of God's promise. And remember that in Genesis 3:15, you have the first promise that we're reading there. There, where Adam and Eve fell and transgressed in the Garden of Eden, God addressed the serpent and beguiled him and said, "This, the seed of the woman, will run the bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel." That was the bruise, of course, a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there is the promise. The promise was confirmed to Abraham, and then followed people down through the centuries until the time of that initial gospel by the person of the spiritual side of the people. And listen to this: you will call his name Jesus, for he shall rescue his people from their sins. And then when Jesus actually born of a woman, born in due time, many women, many under the law, and even them that were under the burden of the law, in the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were made known to the whole cosmos that God was fulfilling the promise. And all peace upon that. And he was so enraptured by it that God was fulfilled his promise unto his people, and that's why he was so zealous to preach and to teach the gospel whenever he had the opportunity. So I don't apologize for bringing out the gospel, because that's the power of God under salvation to everyone that believes. And it is the one person above all others that glorifies God, magnifies his name. And so we can get a sense of the one that you call was so to give the gospel to anyone. And that is something to fun because during the Bible, though, we're so prone to being that we just get done a lot, unfortunately. And just begin and fail to see the greatness or coming with the greatness and grandeur of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the Bible, there are two great revelations. Moses of the Old Testament and Paul of the New Testament. Moses, the revelator of the law, so to speak. That law which told us about the holiness of God and revealed the sinfulness of man and the heaven and the holiness of man. And then Paul, the great revelator in the New Testament. And those are the things, of course, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul revealed to us, making known to us, the righteousness that the law demanded was met and qualified for us and given to us through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who made us with the righteousness of the nation and redeemed. So Paul, as a great declarer and revealer of certain truths, the body of Christ, and it is your term that Matthew is the only writer of the New Testament who talks and thinks about the body of Christ. He's the one who tells us about the mission of the heart of Israel. He's the one who conveys to us the teachings and the mysteries about the rapture and as well as the ordinances and the institution of the Lord's Supper and many other things that none of the other writers wrote out in their writings. So Moses in the Old Testament, the great revelator on folder of divine truth, and Paul in the New Testament, the revelator or the unfolder of divine truth in the New Testament. Now, if you think about that, then our gospel is Paul in the gospel. And that is because he is the great missionary to the Gentiles. And he is the one that we read about and has the most right in the New Testament. The second thing that he comes to do to others was rather to Paul than given this first truth. Now, I want you to see that in the text that we looked at. How is it what Paul did? He did get into the text. Many people like to hear other people say, well, here's one. But I'll just put the whole answer from one word in verse 16. The word is Amen. You guys know that? The word is wicked. The Lord, he says there, is who is trying to reveal the Son in me. And what is so true? That's why I want you to see the difference. The Lord has been revealed in me. How do we understand that? When God chose a person, that person began and knew Jesus. And what Paul said was here is written, and he's written in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If a man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are actually. And behold, all things have become new. So the core, the root, is not the root of the Pauline gospel, is that the old Adam is sanctified and the member Jesus Christ is revealed in us. We're probably understanding that. So look at the Matthew chapter 16, where the history of the past. Because flesh and blood has not revealed it on you, but my Father who is in heaven. The Father reveals it to him, not only to him, but in him as well. There it is, and this is the silver word. Look what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, we have the first section of Paul. If our gospel is hidden, it is hidden that we are lost, and he, the God of this world, has blinded the minds of them that believe not. Don't believe, let the light of the Lord's gospel be held under the hand while we preach God out there for Christ Jesus, the Lord. And I shall have heard the report for me. And then look at verse 6. But God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us the knowledge of God and the light of the knowledge of God in the face. Jesus Christ. He has turned in our hearts. When you were born, God turned in your hearts. Not just to give you information, but God has commanded the last time. Out of darkness, he's been let down the ground in their hearts. The one who created you in the first, when created you spiritually, first into the kingdom of God, he can share things, share a lot, but he can share things in your heart. So when Paul says, it's written to the Lord to reveal his Son in you, the Holy Spirit is, but in you. That's another question, is he wants to get you to say, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto the Spirit of wisdom, in the Lord, into the knowledge of it. A Christian is one who has received the light, not outwardly, but inwardly. John 1:12 admits that he is in him, and verse 36 that he has been born of God. And so, we are people who have received light, long life, worthy of his name, is God, the light of God. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, this is a compelling truth about the Apostle Paul. And when it is all dangerous in the word, not only to you. Now, we know that when Paul was created, then revealed to him on the next road, the Lord Jesus Christ was not only to him, but to him. So this is what God did. He gave us up with all of our self-righteousness. And this is how Paul puts it. Look over to scripture, verse 1. He gave us up with all of our self-righteousness, including by the death on the cross of Calvary. So much so that Paul cried out in the center of this letter, I am crucified with Christ. We're glad we've done feet and his rest and delivers and process from delivers from the fear of death and so on. But the heart of our very self and the most difficult thing to do relies upon Paul, who his grandparents and grandparents spent his first and second life in the city and back. And got off the plane, and he said, well, that's all how it was. And he said, okay, that's all my way. Well, that's what we are about to face. We are here to part with this strength and to be used in the world of Christ. And all another person who said it in the past, and gave glory, and how people are going to get rid of the history. All of these are in chaos and all kinds. That is very, very difficult for us to have in mind. But that is the end of the gospel that Paul preaches. That he is conveying to us that the gospel includes the very fact that believers were identified, so identified with Christ and included in him. If we were saved, we were crucified in the eyes of God. So identified with him, we have a difficulty in getting this circle in our mind. That's our issue. And believers ended in Adam at the cross. We're no longer identified with Adam, but we're identified with the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's about our relationship, our witness, how we rely upon works. He will be his own works, thinking that he can justify himself before God. He still relies on God's word and the ransom has already been provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he does rescue us and take us to care of all their believers. Even the way of prayer, confession, and religious services, even liturgical Bible study, and reading, and so forth, taking away from them all hope of ever attaining any righteousness. This is what a person engages in order to obtain salvation. He takes himself away, including greater things of what he knows and God. It's good for a person to study and how pastors and each great one in man have a moral sense, perhaps, but that will justify, that will aid no one. Think about some of these books. The man who wrote will tell you that no good work on all of these papers will make it at all. It will help them at all. Christ is called in the blood of Christ to tell to them that before God's judgment died, all his guilty problems have been answered through the blood of the Son of God. And Christ is being able to receive the heaven is alone in righteousness and his hope. And this difference between believers and the true believer in the Lord Jesus. What we bring to the delay in the relationship. If you were walking to and touching the letter first, so certain from the gospel that he had delivered on you, and you were saying to him, you realize what you're going from. You're falling away from the principle of grace. You're going back under the law, which never stays in the law. Christ didn't die for our goodness, he died for our. He didn't die for our good work. He died for our inheritance. He put down the work. And then he put ourselves back under the law and received it into the witness. You're putting yourself back in the place of the chapter. I'm going to give you a nation. I become a transgressor and put place the grace of God. So we see how Paul was overborne and dogmatic about the gospel. It was God who was in his promise that his kingdom is bound up in the second heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas is all about. Christmas is all about the simple thing. God kept His word. He sent you a sin to Son. He kept His word, you know. That's what it's all about. It's not about people and Christmas trees and ornaments and all this stuff. But it means that God kept His word. That's what's so thrilled the Apostle Paul. Your name, we